If only they knew. The hub for young business minds.
Yes, people, it's Ted Lawler from the If Only They Knew podcast. And today we're joined by Joseph and Oliver from Unitasker, the platform that helps students find work opportunities and earn money whilst at uni. The duo speak about securing over £1 million in investment, influencer marketing, and managing a giant tech business. So if you're looking to understand the mindset of a successful young entrepreneur, this is the podcast for you. Right, cool. We'll start off. If one of you want to take the lead on this one and let us know who you are and what you do, and then, yeah, we'll hear from the other one to hear the same answer.
Sure. So Unitasker, as a company, in principle, we're a tasking platform. So what you can imagine to be a fiber for students, in the sense that we connect now over 200,000 students across the UK with part-time work and experience building opportunities around their studies. On the flip side of that, we've also got an agency attached to ourselves called Shout, which looks to tap into our network of students as an army of nano-influencers, content creators, and market research panelists in a bid to find a new and authentic way for brands to ultimately tap into the student market. So that's
pretty much it. And on a personal level, I'm Oliver Jacobs, one of the co-founders, and we started this about 5-6 years ago when we were both studying at university. And since then, it's kind of just grown and grown. And now we are a team of 20-odd. In the last year, it's grown from 3 to 20, so it's kind of rapidly grown during COVID.
And this
is Joe.
So I think when we look at what we really are, whilst we are a tech company in principle, we aim to be so much more, in the sense that Unitask is here for two reasons, really. One, to connect students with the ability to earn a flexible income around their studies. And secondly, to provide students a way of building flexible work experience around their studies. So when they graduate from university, they've got the, the experience they need to ultimately make that step into the workforce that much easier. And we're on our mission.
I know, I've been researching you guys, looking into it a lot. It's a name I've heard of before in terms of the brand itself. I never really dived into it. So it's been exciting to dive in and see the good things you've been doing, especially over the past year. But before we dive into that a bit more in detail later on, I always think it's good to sort of dive into who you guys once were, because we can see who you are now. Who were you once before, in terms of your confidence and your academic achievements? Like, what was you like at school? What was a younger you like?
Okay, I'll start. So I was pretty much just kind of academic, kind of sporty. Went to a school, went through sixth form and then to university, always wanting to do architecture. That was kind of what I was always driven to do since a young age. Ended up graduating from Nottingham Trent. But during that time, I started the business because me and Joe wanted to start something up. Come from a good family in North London. All very close, and now I live in Brixton in South London.
Hey, nice.
We actually live together. It's a full-time gig. My background is slightly different. I was actually raised in Spain. I lived in Spain for 15 years. Grew up, going down to the beach on lunch break instead of, playing football in the park. when I was 13, I moved back to the UK to boarding school, which is actually where I met Ollie. As he said, we went to school together. So Ollie lived probably about 100 metres away from the school. So he was pretty much my escape for our entire studies, which was great. Then following kind of school, I guess next steps, I didn't want to go straight off to university. I wanted to do something a little bit different because I wasn't really sure what I wanted to study. At that point, I actually decided to do a year course in Africa where I worked and trained as a safari ranger. So I used to do anti-poaching, game relocation, worked out there for about a year, had some crazy experiences, was certainly very different. Went to uni to study animal behavior, and it was in my first year and Ollie's second year where we came up with the idea and looked to tackle the student financial crisis. It's been a bit of a roller coaster ever since, isn't it?
But that is such a mad sort of series of events, isn't it? Like meeting each other at school and you're off playing with lions. So it's just a weird situation, I guess. But one thing I wanted to ask you, in terms of living together, like, how is that? Because that's something that it may seem quite irrelevant almost and somewhat minor, but I feel like it's an important point, like the two co-founders sort of working together and living together. So like, and you went to school together to add on top of it. So how do you cope with that?
Yeah, and we can add one more into it as well. Ollie's brother, Alex, he's one of our senior account directors. Really, he also lives with us. So it's productive. Yeah. I think we've always put our friendship, you know, in front of the business, and that's been important to kind of, you know, help us kind of grow over the years.
I feel like we've been living together for a while, because even straight after uni, I went up to Manchester where he was already at uni, and kind of moved in with him. And then from then onwards, we just kind of stayed in Manchester, going from kind of long-term rentals to long-term rental.
Yeah, and
so since then, since about 20, so like the last 5 years, we've been pretty much with each other all the time.
And it helps. I mean, it's such a fast-paced environment, you know, being a startup. We need to act so incredibly reactively. I mean, we've had nights where suddenly we'll start going viral, and like I'm talking about signing up 10,000 people in a night, spinning up our servers, and we're just in the office, the two of us, you know, with a glass of whiskey, just fucking
like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So how important is it then to have the right people? Because obviously, like you said there, and we can tell on camera, you're getting along well. So how important is it for the entrepreneurs out there, or up and coming entrepreneurs? How important is it to have the right people around you?
So important.
Very. I think we've said this before. It's like, if we were trying to do this from the beginning, just one of us, it would have been very, very tough, very lonely. Because there's a lot of issues that you come across that you need to share with other people. And if you don't share it with someone who understands it, it's pretty difficult. Like, you can go to your parent or your mate, but if they're not in a business like yours or understanding it so much, they don't really get it. So we have each other to completely understand what we're going through.
It's helped get
through the hard times.
Yeah, I bet.
Even like with people coming into the business, you know, outside of just us as founders, we've always kind of championed people. We're, you know, very much in the belief that, you know, people over skill sets, in the sense that skills can be taught right, people can't necessarily. So it's really important who we bring into our circle.
Yeah. You mentioned it previously, like how you sort of started Unitasker, but based off what you said there, was it the love of people that sort of got you into it, or just thinking about people first, or what was it that made you get into this? Because you come from completely different backgrounds in terms of what you're doing now. So yeah,
I think we both experienced very similar experiences at university. I think both of us had a number of friends who ultimately had to drop out of university because they couldn't afford the cost of living.
You know,
didn't have parents who were able to, fortunately, you know, give them the support that necessarily they needed to actually stay in their studies. And, you know, we had friends that were dropping out. So we kind of both acknowledged this. And I think we had a similar situation with a mutual friend, and we ended up sitting down and looking at the problem. It's like, okay, well, how can students monetize their skill sets? How can we break this down? And I mean, we've changed a lot over the years. The very first platform we launched was called UniDosh. And it was a student-to-student app. And what we found very quickly was that while students are extremely eager to earn money, very receptive towards, you know, taking on tasks, they didn't want to spend the money. So we tried to get this community of students and students trading, and we couldn't. And I think about 3 years later, we had about 4,000 or 5,000 members in our workforce, but no one was buying them. And we basically had to take a step back, realize that it wasn't working, and that we needed to make some serious change if we wanted this journey to continue. And we rebuilt the app from scratch, and it actually took us a year to get back to market. We lost every single user that we had spent 3 years building. And when September 2019, we're back with scratch.
With a new name, Unitasker, new concept.
That is like quite a brave thing to do, to sort of look at it, assess the situation and say, right, we're going to have to take a step back. So how was that whole thing? What was going through your mind at that time?
By the time you end up doing that decision, though, it's kind of it's so obvious. Like it makes sense. It's like, well, people aren't buying, students aren't buying each other. Well, right, who's got the money? It's the businesses. It's your mums and dads. Let's let them book them. So it was kind of very simple to do.
But on a personal front, it was hard, really hard. Like, you know, I think at that point we had run out of funding. We needed to look to bring on a technical co-founder. It's the only way we were going to be able to rebuild the app. We found someone who we thought was right, led us a bit down a bad path. Took a year later to get to market instead of 3 months, which we were initially kind of promised. And that caused us to lose the base. And in that year, we were going a little stir crazy. I mean, we set up different little micro businesses just to try and keep ourselves entertained. We set up an events management platform. We sent up a miniature marketing agency, just anything to keep us busy.
Because no money was coming through at all.
Yeah,
so we needed to do something.
Yeah, we survived. We kind of kept going with the kind of belief, and you know, I think, you know, with the app having been under development, we knew something was coming, and we just didn't know where the light was exactly at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
it's an idea that's very simple to understand, and a lot when you tell someone about it, they're instantly like, well, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So throughout that whole year, we knew we were still onto something good, and it wasn't like let's just give it up now, because we knew just waiting a little longer, it's going to pay off.
Yeah, and it seems there, like you mentioned, you started other businesses, and it was quite weird. I don't know whether you've done that sort of consciously or not, but I'm sure you said you started other businesses for entertainment. So this project you're working on now, and some of the other projects you've been working on, I guess the main incentive isn't really money. Am I right in saying that? It's more sort of a passion for it.
For us, like I said at the beginning, it's about, if we can achieve one thing, you know, we never want a student to go to university and not be able to, you know, graduate because they can't afford the cost of living. We never want a student to graduate from university and not have the experience they need to go into the sector they want to go into. There's a massive flaw in the system. And if we can do anything to break that down, that's what we want to do. You know, money will follow. Obviously, money is a nice incentive, but it's not our drive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and you said before that you took a step back, and now you've taken many steps forward. I think you picked up 1.25 million in funding, or tell us about that, how much you got in funding and how that all came about, because that's impressive.
Yes, I mean, it probably started when we triggered our growth, right? I mean, I have to go back a little bit here. So when we first relaunched Unitasker, we were looking at ways that we could ultimately give students more jobs, right? Because we didn't have enough businesses posting jobs at that point. So we thought, I think we were sat down having a whiskey. It's like, why don't we post a job and we can get 50 of our students to shout us out on their social? Worst case, you know, 50 students actually earn a quick bit of cash. Best case, actually does something from a marketing perspective.
Yeah.
Suddenly overnight, we hit the top 200 charts as a result of having our own students, you know, shouting us out. It's like, hang about, there's something here. How can we, you know, use this for other brands? So then, basically, with Shout, the agency side, we built our own largest customer, because suddenly we wouldn't have to wait for necessarily, you know, one or two businesses to come along and post a task. We could actually provide hundreds of students with a job very quickly and very easily. And that kind of triggered our own growth. So Shout became our own growth mechanic. It's the only source that drives our new students. Wow. We've been registering up to 1,000 a day for the past kind of year. We actually hit 200,000 members yesterday.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you very much. So it was just incredibly explosive.
Yeah.
And it helped us kind of pivot the business in the way we needed to take us in the right direction.
Shout is such a powerful platform, isn't it? I was looking into that as well. And it's like, well, it's such a almost obvious idea. It's one of them when someone else does it, you think, oh, I could have done that, because it's there. Obviously, you've got like the huge influencers, and influencer marketing over the past few years has become massive, and it's starting to evolve. So the fact that you're using nano influencers, let's talk to us a bit about that. I think it's such an interesting idea.
Yeah, so we've seen that, you know, if someone posts a story on their Instagram and they've just got 500 followers, those 500 followers are made up of their family and friends. So yeah, they actually listen to what they say and they trust them. Compared to if it's someone famous, you know they're getting paid huge amounts of money from a brand that they probably don't even care about. And so you just skip straight past it. And so from that, we've seen great, great engagement and just kind of efficiency throughout the campaigns. So brands are loving it and they're coming back for more. And each time the campaigns are getting bigger and we're using more and more students. And so that's what we're doing now. We're just growing our influence base and working with different clients.
It's complete authenticity. It's, you know, that's what, and engagement, you know, if you deal with an influencer with 50,000 followers, for example, a really good one would have a 2-3% engagement rate. Suddenly you deal with someone with 5,000, even an average one will have up to 20% engagement.
Wow.
So it's just about combining that group value. We'd far rather work with 50 people with 1,000 followers than one person with 50,000 followers. Yeah. And brands are definitely getting more and more aligned with that.
But, the struggle with that, though, is that we're trying to now build the technology in order to manage and pay and message and completely manage these students on bulk. There's no platform out there that really allows you to do that, and so we're doing that in-house and bringing on new tech guys and girls to actually build that out.
That's why, like you said, I don't understand why no one's kind of done it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly people why. Try to do it. They stop past the 50 influencer mark. So you know, we're now doing 2,000 at a time, and we're going to be
And we had the tech there to some extent. We were almost sitting on the basis of this platform. It's not like we needed to start from scratch. We were able to use the technology that we built through the Unitasker platform to do exactly that. But you know, Shout for us, the influence side, is just another kind of arm to you know where we want to go. Unitasker and Shout are both you know, they're remaining within the same kind of goals in the sense that they both provide students for work and money earning opportunities. But then for us, under the Unitask brand as well, there's so many different areas that we can go into once you collect that database of students. So like a big one for us this year is grad recruitment. You can appreciate we've got every student's CV on file, you know, what they study, where they study, what they want to do post-graduation. It's quite a short step for us to become quite a large graduate recruiter.
Yeah.
So that's the next kind of area that we're going to be looking into.
And obviously you mentioned there the difficulty of creating a tech to manage all these people. But just before that as well, we mentioned like the funding. And like you said, you got a lot of funding. So how, like you said, with the just looking after the people on the platform is quite a hard work. So how do you manage all the money coming through and all the things you could do? Like, how do you sort of stay focused? And on the practical level, how do you manage such a huge machine?
Honestly,
a lot of prep and a lot of Google Sheets.
Yeah, and people.
Yeah. I mean, look, Ollie and I took the business as far as we could go, just the two of us, and we recognize that. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be in a position where the reason we were able to raise is because of the results we were able to achieve through the COVID period. We kind of showed our investors that, you know, somewhat pandemic proof, which might come back to hit me.
But we understand when we don't come from financial backgrounds or we never studied business courses or anything. So we are getting to the point now where we're bringing in more senior people to help us drive this forward in a more efficient way and make the right decisions. Because it's too much for just us two now, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And also talking about a big database of people, big funding, you've also had some big clients as well, haven't you? If you tell us more about that, I think that's really exciting.
Yeah, so I mean, it's been instrumental. I think a lot of the bigger names that we started to work with definitely brought in others. I think it was, especially with Nanos being such a new thing, it was that almost that stamp of approval. So some of our more recent clients, Red Bull, for example, been working with them on a few different projects. We've got a few projects coming out with them this year, which we're excited about. We work with Western Union, we work with Spotify, Iceland. Warner Brothers, yeah, Iceland.
Wow, so many.
Yeah, it's really growing quickly. Like I said, it's just becoming more and more popular and the results speak for themselves. So it's definitely attracting the right people to us.
Yeah, I bet that as well as everything going on, you must feel so sort of proud. Like how proud are you of what you've achieved like on personal levels for the both of you?
Yeah, I think we forget about it sometimes. Because we're so in it. It's nice sometimes to step back like on a weekend and just think, okay, this is pretty cool.
Also, we know where we want to go. And it's like you said, it is important to look back at what you've achieved.
Yeah, we should do that more though.
We are grateful. Like we do, you know, we have moments where it might be at, you know, 4 a.m. on a Saturday. But we're going, you know, well, fuck, this is cool. Yeah, we've done well here. But, you know, it's not just down to us. We've been very fortunate. We had a good idea, but we've had really good people around us. Like, for example, our entire, with Shout, for example, our entire campaign team, you know, it was a very manual and laborious process to begin with. It still is to some extent, even as the technology improves. And they have to work extremely hard to make this all possible. Massive shout out to them.
You, obviously, we spoke about the massive clients as well. And this is something I've been thinking of lately, just because I'm a marketing nerd. I love marketing. Mm-hmm. And listening to like Gary Vee and the likes of like people like that who are really in the innovation space. And they're talking about how things are changing so much, especially like you mentioned, due to COVID, things are changing. So just on like a macro level, how do you think the influencer landscape is changing? Like you said, you've worked with so many different clients from Iceland to Red Bull to NordVPN. So how do you see just the marketing landscape even changing, let alone the influencer landscape?
Yeah. I think like from a first perspective, like we focus primarily on student, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, brands are getting more and more susceptible towards targeting students at a younger age than what they might have prior. I think they're not, obviously, it's common sense, really. If you capture someone from a young age, you know, then they tend to stay with you for life if you're a strong brand. Yeah. So I think brands are definitely going, they're spending a lot more in targeting students now because they appreciate the value they can bring in the future.
And creating more advocates and ambassadors for the brand rather than just an influencer who does a few posts, you know, someone who actually becomes part of the brand. And when you see that celebrity, even if it is a celebrity or a person, you represent them to the brand that they've been talking about for years.
100%. And also, I guess also, I think brands are starting to, like kind of said before, pay more attention towards the little guys. You know, they don't necessarily want, they appreciate that, especially, you know, when it comes to Gen Z and millennials, we don't trust the big influencers anymore. You know, if Dan Bilzerian's holding a bottle of aloe vera at a 90 degree angle in the sun, that he's probably been paid to put it there. And, you know, whereas when, and I guess, you know, especially for startups, it's really important to break down that trust barrier. So working with nanos is a good way of doing that, because like Ollie said, it's, they're following built up a family and friends. So there's no greater way.
Yeah. And this is something not predicted, but this is something I've been thinking about for a long time as well. Like, you know how traditionally it was like only ever athletes that would get sponsored. And then it sort of was like musicians and like public figures, TV, like, and then it just sort of gone down and down and down. And like you said, it's getting more micro. So I feel like there, do you think there'll be a point where more individuals will be like almost sponsored in some way, that maybe not necessarily a traditional kind of sponsor, but some sort of package where a certain company will, like you said, they'll be a true ambassador for that brand. So a certain company will look after an individual, same me with the podcast, a company may take me on from the very early stages and try and guide me into a real ambassador for their brand.
That's kind of what we're doing with Shout. They're using us create these ambassadors of everyday people and turning them into ambassadors. That's kind of what the goal is here. Yeah. Power to the people, basically. Give them the power to talk about the brand.
Also, like influencers nowadays, is, you know, can be built somewhat. You know, if you can find someone with a niche or someone who, you know, has a particular skill or talent, and you know, you think that people would actually want to watch that, they can be amplified. And we see it the whole time. We work with influencers that started with 50 followers and they're now on 50,000 followers because of the amplification and the, you know, the platform that we've given them to voice who they are.
How important is it, like, obviously giving young people the platform and the opportunity to grow their platform, but also the opportunity to earn? Because like we said at the very start of this, when you're at uni, things that can be tough. If you've not got the right sort of setup, you can get into a lot of trouble financially and also experience wise. It's really hard if you're going to uni every day and every night. It's really hard to then go get a job as well. So what can the young people do in this that are at uni? What can they do to sort of help boost their chances? I guess uni task and shout it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many different jobs on the platform that you can do. You don't need to have a certain amount of followers or this or that. You know, there's jobs ranging from £5 to £5,000. So it's something you can go and accept and do.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It's like there's such a massive gap in the system, right? Like, let's take marketing for an example. Like, you can study a marketing degree for 3 years, you'll graduate, and most agencies require a minimum year experience for you to get a job. How does that make any viable sense? So it's like, if students can achieve that experience through their studies, it kind of bridges that gap. Yeah.
So one thing that we're doing with that is we realize that if the students are doing loads of jobs on the platform, they're not doing jobs elsewhere. So when they do leave uni, their CV's got not a lot on it. So we're building kind of a uni task, a CV that brings in all your jobs and tasks that you've done throughout your 3 years or 4 years at uni.
Yeah.
And then builds that, it puts the review there, the 5-star rating, and it builds like a much better CV than you would have ever had.
Student LinkedIn coming soon. Yeah.
that it is needed though, isn't it? Like even on so many platforms, it's really hard to just focus on what you're after essentially. So LinkedIn is just, in my opinion, it's just full of so much crap and it's really hard to get to the value and like what you really want to see. So I think something like that would actually be a really good idea.
Massively. We saw it during the pandemic, right? Like, you know, especially because we focus on online remote work for the most part, second pandemic hit and people had to stay at home. We were primed and ready. You know, students could earn money and build experience all from their bedroom during a pandemic.
Yeah. And you also had the charity side, didn't you? I think I saw that for last year, was it? You was doing a charity campaign.
Yeah, so we ran a campaign called Task for Help. Was this one? Task for Help.
For coronavirus.
So we essentially re-engineered components of our tech to be better suited for hyper-localized delivery tasks. So when the pandemic hit, you know, and obviously at the time it was kind of made more aware that young people are less contagious or, you know, less likely to spread or whatever it was. And you know, we were primed and positioned well, so we mobilized, I believe it was 10,000, 20,000 members.
That's when we only had 10 or 20,000, so we just used more.
Oh, students came forward, they wanted to help, you know, and even if that meant delivering groceries to your neighbor or, you know, going and picking up pharmaceuticals for someone 10 minutes down the road, like, people put their hand up and it was nice to see.
Yeah, I love that. I really like that. What I wanted to ask before that about uni, it's a bit of a hard-hitting question, but do you think uni is worth it?
Well, it depends what kind of course you want to do, yeah. I think if you want to become a doctor or an architect or something like that, of course you need to go and get the qualification. But if you want to get into business or something like that, I don't know.
It was funny because I went to a comedy show last night and the comedian actually made a joke about exactly that. It was like you see people going to take a business degree, but... you know, if you have to spend 30 grand on a degree in the UK, is that smart business? Like maybe you should have taken a business degree. but you know, like it's I think it's very specialist. If you need a course to get to where you want to be, then absolutely. There are, I think the important thing are there's different routes and, you know, there's different routes for everyone.
And also if you do want to go to there uni and just have the experience of living on your own and partying with your mates and having that whole uni life, maybe you think that's worth the money.
Yeah.
Paying it back over the next 20 years. So it's
yeah. Yeah, I guess it just depends, isn't it? That's the easy answer. On a personal level, you keep mentioning it, yeah, and it's made me think, like, what is it like? So you mentioned there, like, the early mornings, the late nights, the drinking whiskey, you keep mentioning. So what is your daily... what is your daily routines like? Like, what do you get up to with running such a big business and a business with so many cogs involved? Yeah, what is your routines like?
So we've kind of both separated up completely in what we're doing. I'm now focused mainly on the product and the technology. And Joe is now in kind of sales and partnerships. So we're completely doing different things, more suited to our skill sets. Originally, we were both doing together the same thing. We were both working on the designs. We were both doing the calls.
Yeah.
And now separate, and it works much better.
Yeah.
But like our day-to-day lives, you know, like were you asking from a more kind of like personal front as well? Like what does our day look like?
Yeah, like literally, because I think it's really valuable for everyone listening. Everyone listening will be young people, either interested or directly involved in business. So I think it's good to hear what an actual daily routine is like.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we start by waking up.
Try to go to the gym.
Yeah, it's not been easy. But we get into the office. We always kind of have like an initial kind of chat just to kind of break down the day. Get to it, have chats with our relative teams that we both kind of manage, get moving on the day. Then, I mean, we tend to work, I mean, most nights we'll work through to like 7-8 o'clock. Like we do tend to work quite late. Obviously when our staff leave or our team leave the office, it gives us a little bit of quiet time for us to focus on some of the stuff that, you know, really put our head down, more kind of business development side of things. Then, I mean, it kind of laps over and it's just continuous.
Yeah,
it's very much a roller coaster, you know, being on a startup. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself with the podcast.
You have days
where you're bloody flying, and then you have days where you feel like you're sinking.
Yeah,
it kind of goes back to Ollie's point about, you know, having someone with you that you can work on it with, is having, you know, someone in place. Yeah. It helps.
But we're learning to delegate a lot more now and bring on people that will take day-to-day tasks away from us. I mean, I'm still doing a lot of the customer service, like, but I just shouldn't be doing that at all anymore. We find it hard to give away the jobs that we enjoy doing and we know we're good at doing. But it's something we're learning.
And that is such a big point, isn't it, for the entrepreneurs that get the business up and running. I found it with my, like I said, I've got a guided journal, and I found it with that. It started to do really well. And it's like, I find myself saying, oh, I could just do this instead of doing what needs to be done because I enjoy doing that. Right? Like, you know what I mean? It's really hard to sort of figure out and step back and look at it from a practical perspective. But one of the things you mentioned before that was the physical fitness. And some of the entrepreneurs I've been speaking, well, all of them have all mentioned the fact that they've got into physical fitness and mental fitness, like reading and stuff. So yeah, how important are both of those things for you guys?
I think physical, going to the gym, is so important, and we're seeing at the moment we're not doing that, and we're getting more frustrated with things. I think when we both go to the gym, we know we're starting the day really well, and we're moving for the day, so we need to do that again.
Also,
reading. Yeah, I've tried to get back into reading. I find it difficult to actually sit down and just do that though. Down doing nothing, I want to be on my laptop working.
Yeah,
same. Into a podcast, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, you got a new one to listen to now, so you're sorted.
Perfect.
What would you say then? You gave given lots of advice throughout this. What would you say would be your ultimate advice? If I could just say, you'd have to pick one advice for young people in general, perhaps the people that are interested or involved in business. What would your advice be for those?
I don't know if you'd agree. I think I've got one, and I think you'd agree with me. understanding when to pivot. When you're in a startup, especially when you hold your idea so dear to your heart, you know, often founders will find it very hard to detach themselves and appreciate when something's not working. And there is nothing wrong with appreciating when something is not working. It's having the courage to accept that something's not working and the ability to reposition in a way that it can work. I think don't hold on for too long. Make sure that, you know, you have the strength to move forward in a slightly different direction. Had we not, you know, pivoted by opening up to members of the public, we would have been down by now because the student model didn't work. Yeah. Had we not launched Shout, we might not have been able to drive enough revenue to continue our journey. You know, I think you need to kind of observe your situation at the very time and see what you need to do to change.
Yeah, it's not giving up. That's the thing. It's not giving up. And don't care what other people think, that they think you're giving up. Like, fuck it. Do what you need to do.
Yeah. And you think about Airbnb. Like, you know, the way they raised their initial investment was through launching a cereal box, like what, Obamaro's or whatever it was, that helped them fund their initial round to build their MVP. Like, you know, smart. You've got to get smart.
That's it. And I think a lot of it is basing your decisions on facts rather than emotions, but then also factoring in your intuition as well. So it's quite a weird situation, isn't it? But there's definitely a lot to the decision making.
100%.
Yeah. Coming to the last few sections then, obviously this podcast is called If Only They Knew. So what is one thing you guys wish you knew at an earlier stage in your career or just in your life to help you now? Yeah.
I'd say in terms of the business, if only I knew that we just needed a very, very simple version of UniDosh or Unitask in the beginning to get out there and test the product. We spent a lot of money and a lot of time building what we thought was like a fully fledged version of the app. And it was the worst decision ever. We had to go back many times and start again because of it. So if we just created a very simple website, collected data, figured out if students actually wanted to trade services between each other, we would have learned a lot quicker and probably got to where we are quicker.
Yeah, completely. And I think on a more like personal front as well, if only I knew kind of where we'd be today, I wouldn't have put so much anguish and negative energy into those hard times that didn't necessarily go well. I think people waste a lot of energy on things that can't necessarily be changed. And, you know, I think just kind of moving forward with a positive mindset is important.
Yeah, no, I love both of those. And it's so true. What is next for you then, looking forward and like you said, being positive about the future, even though you don't know what's to come? But in the short term, what are your plans for the brand and for yourselves?
Yeah. Okay, so one big thing we're about to do is launch in the States. We are in the next couple of months, hopefully. We're doing some things with the technology at the moment to get us ready. That is exciting. We can't wait. Dreams we always had was to open there.
Wow.
Launching ourselves.
Launching the recruitment agency side.
I guess growing the team, like having like recently raised the funding round for us to be able to now get ourselves into the position we need to get into to actually, you know, take this thing really to the next level. It's quite exciting.
We've
got what we need now.
We are still right down here. Like,
we're still
at the beginning. There's a lot to do.
Yeah, that's
100%.
That's exciting though, isn't it? You guys must be excited. Final thing then, what do you want your legacy to be on a personal level? Do you want to leave anything behind once you're gone?
I guess I was just going to say, like, actually, like, you know, having a big impact on the student financial crisis, you know, if we can become somewhat of a pillar in the student community for centuries to come, where, you know, students have, you know, this platform in place that helps them all round it throughout their studies, earning money, building experience, you know, meeting people, connecting with friends. You know, I think if we can kind of position ourselves in that respect, then that will be success to me.
Yeah. It'd be nice to know that when a student becomes a student, they already knew that they were going to go onto the Unitask app and download it. It was like the thing that you do when you go to college or uni. You get Unitask and that sort of thing.
Yeah,
no, that's sick. And like I said before, you guys are smashing it. And I'm sure, I like to say to every guest, it's always good to sort of acknowledge how far people have come, but also where they're going to go. And most people that I've had on the show go on to do it. So congratulations, firstly. And yeah, I look forward to seeing your journey. Where can everyone listening find out more about you guys and follow that journey?
Yeah, so probably give us a follow on Instagram, just at Unitasker, have it on our website. Download the app if you're a student, I guess.
Yeah, www.unitasker.com.
Yeah, Unitasker without the E on the end.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no, it's been great. Really enjoyed this chat.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. And yeah, like I said, I'll look forward to seeing the progression as well.
Amazing.
Cheers. Thank you.